Blog Talk Radio.
And you have stumbled across The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives you a full balance of sports, that balance that you look for every day. Join Tom and $2 Bill Josh as they break down all the sports for you and promise not to leave you hungry. Right now, here's Tom and $2 Bill Josh.
I am Optimus Prime, and I send this message to any surviving Autobots taking refuge among the stars. We are here. We are waiting.
All right, let's see where we're at here.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
All right, and welcome to another episode of The Balance. We are live right here at the Quarter Mile right in Brownsburg. My name's Tom. Right alongside me is $2 Bill Josh, and to give us that trackside review, input, and comic relief for the night is Mr. R.J. Cunningham. Is everybody ready to get the show started tonight? Mr. $2 Bill Josh, R.J. Cunningham, Mr. Racing R.J. Cunningham. Well, good night to be out here at the Quarter Mile. We're out here in Brownsburg, just west of Indianapolis, for those of you that are just tuning in across the nation. So glad that you're here with us on our national radio show, The Balance, and Trackside Review Radio Style. So glad that you guys have joined us. Feel free to give us a call, 917-889-8516. We're going to be talking hoops. This is March Madness. We've got a lot to talk about with hoops. And hoop, there it is, Mr. Josh. We got the Bulldogs. We got the Dogs. We got San Diego State. We got Florida. We got a little bit of action from all brackets. And I know, RJ, I know you kind of just donated to the cause this year.
Yes, I did. I filled out the bracket form, and I lost big time in the very beginning. But, hey, I'm not supposed to be big time into basketball. I'm big time into racing, so it didn't surprise me that I walked away there with no big advantage. But hey, no big deal. As long as Butler's alive, I'm good.
Well, Butler's still alive, and I know they've got a very big game tonight. Probably one of the biggest games they've had all season long when they take on the Wisconsin Badgers, 10 o'clock Eastern, right here. Not right here in the Big Easy. So we'll see how easy it is for the Bulldogs to pull it off. Again, we're right here at the Quarter Mile in Brownsburg. So good that glad that you could join us. Come on out. We're going to be giving away some tickets. Come out and get some food and drink. A little bit of everything is going on here. Come on out and have some fun and meet the team here at The Balance. So, Josh, we've got a lot going on. We've got a lot to talk about. The Sweet 16. I don't know how sweet that it really is. We got 16 teams. It's sweet that they're there. But we have some upsets. We have some surprises. So Josh, let's talk a little bit about the Sweet 16, what's going on, and let's break down tonight's action.
That sounds good. Tom, you know, we do have four double-figure seeds in this year's Sweet 16. That's never happened before. You know, we got number 11 Marquette. We got in Ohio State's region. Kansas has a pretty easy region for the Jayhawks to win. They're number one seed. They play number 11 They play number 12 Richmond, rather. Number 11 VCU plays number 10 Florida State. So City of Richmond has two teams in the Sweet 16. Nobody expected either one of those two teams to be here. That's what makes it March Madness. I wouldn't want to have a tournament any other way. Look forward to an exciting weekend of basketball, starting with UConn taking on Tom's sentimental favorite, San Diego State.
Well, I tell you what, this is going to be a good game between San Diego State and UConn. And I tell you what, if UConn can make it and put it through, I think this is going to be a good opportunity for the Huskies to make it. But they've got to get past San Diego State tonight. And I'm not entirely sold on the whole idea that they can do that. I think that San Diego State, when they bring it, and they can make it happen. Again, we're here at the Quarter Mile in Brownsburg. We're doing our show live, our first live remote. We're going to be doing it every Thursday night from right here in the Quarter Mile for the immediate future, per se, in Avon and in Brownsburg. We're going to kind of swap it around. And I know, RJ, we're going to get into some more basketball here in a minute, but I know you're excited. You've been talking to some race fans today. You've been talking about a little bit about your old nostalgic Trackside Review, the magazine, and some of you old Trackside race fans, come on out. We've got some free old archived issues for you.
Yeah,
so, RJ, go ahead.
I've got some back issues from 2006, and I've saved them for just this moment because I knew when I shut it down in 2006 that I would be back. Last year I was back with just a website, and now I'm ready to go to full print and a full online magazine. And we're learning as we move. I know that this was, a 2.5-hour setup for the first time out here at Brownsburg. And we will be switching back and forth from Brownsburg and Avon, Indiana, to do this show. I grew up in Brownsburg, but yet I like Avon, too, and I can't wait to hit the racetracks. I noticed the Brownstown Speedway's already postponed their deal, but let's get back to basketball. I mean, my son graduated from Butler. My daughter's going to Butler, and my son just emailed me and told me he was in Florida playing golf. Ha, ha, ha. So, he's definitely on spring break from Pike High School, but he's watching Butler, this evening, as will my daughter. So
okay, well, we're gonna hopefully have a win from Butler tonight for all the Butler fans. But of course, we're here to talk a lot more than just Butler. We've got UConn and San Diego going on and doing battle tonight. Josh, tell us what's going to happen on the Husky side.
Well, to borrow a line from Clark Kellogg, although he's in a different situation right now, Kimball Walker, the UConn Huskies, is hot. He's as hot as grease in a pan on the stove. I don't see any San Diego.
As hot as grease in a pan on a stove?
Yep.
That's pretty doggone hot. Did you practice that all day long?
Yes, I did, just for that moment.
Did you practice putting your mic the right way?
As always, the coach, Mr. Tom here.
That's right.
But, you got Jim Calhoun. He's won a couple national titles with the UConn Huskies. You got Kimball Walker, the absolute hottest player in the game right now. You got several solid role players for the UConn Huskies, Oriaki, and so just a great story. And San Diego State making the Elite Eight would be a great story, but this is the month of March. And last time I checked, Cinderella slippers had already been taken this year by the Butler Bulldogs.
Well, I tell you what, Prince Charming's out there trying to make it fit. He's going around to all the ugly stepsisters right now. Can we stop with the cliches? Can we? Hey, guys.
I like that cliche.
You like
What's
that cliche?
With that one?
Hey, I got a million of them up my sleeve here. But, so glad that you could join us. We've got March Madness. We're right in smack dab in the middle of March Madness. Sweet 16, how sweet it is that some of the teams that are in there. And obviously no big surprise with UConn and San Diego State. What are the keys to the game for the Huskies and for San Diego State there, Josh. And guys, we do want to hear your thoughts. Give us a call, 917-889-8516. We want to talk about your brackets. You can Twitter us, T-Balance on Twitter, or find us on Facebook. And also, we're going to be on XRB Radio here in Brownsburg beginning the first Thursday in April. So really an exciting time, and you can download everything off of iTunes as well and catch all of the archive shows on The Balance, www.thebalanceonline.com. Josh, what are the keys to the game? What's going to have to happen between San Diego and UConn?
Keys to the game is playoff experience. You know, they don't call playoffs, but it's really the college playoffs. UConn's been there. They've been there for many, many years. San Diego State has their first two tournament wins, if I recall right. You got Kimball Walker for the UConn Huskies. You got Jim Calhoun, who's used to being here. He's used to being in the Final Four. You got Steve Fisher. He's a great coach. I'm going to let Tom tell you a little bit more about that, since he's a San Diego State fan through and through. In fact, he's such a San Diego State fan, he even bleeds their team colors.
Well, I tell you what, Mr. Fisher was a very successful coach in a past life, so he knows a little bit something about winning games. And I think those of you that are still rooting for Ohio State probably don't want to hear about the past life of a San Diego. Is that where he coached at, Michigan?
Yep, he coached at Michigan, won the 1989 national title at the Michigan Wolverines after he took over with 7 games to go after they fired their head coach. Can't remember his name. I remember he was involved in a scandal. I was only a wee little boy in 1989, though.
you were still a speck in your daddy's eye, huh?
Yep.
Hey, guys, give us a call, 917-889-8516. Love to hear your thoughts. We're talking basketball, March Madness. It's the Sweet 16. Got a lot of games to break down. Of course, we've got the big marquee game of it all, especially right here in Indianapolis, and that's the Butler game.
Stop with the self-promoting plug.
And then we've got Florida, BYU, and, of course, Duke and Arizona. A lot of good potentials for some good upsets there inside of that matchup there. And, in the case of the NCAA tournament Sweet 16 match between UConn and San Diego State, tonight's regional semifinal, the Huskies have gone from a 1-point underdog to a 5-point favorite. So they're certainly the favorites to make it.
Are you recommending people place on this or win? Or?
Well, I've already picked San Diego State, RJ. I think that... I'm not prepared to give a score. I think it's going to be a tight game. I think all the games tonight are going to be an extremely tight game.
I'll give a score.
What's the score there?
UConn 81, San Diego State comes back to Earth. The final score is 65-81.
We need to write that down. Mr. Statman over there.
Statman, write it down there. Statman Steve, we'll get him
UConn
on the air.
$2 bill for $2 Josh sitting over there. I want it written down. Nobody's fighting. Nobody wants proof. There's a pen right there.
But moving
well,
on.
I tell you what. Going into the bracket, I certainly looked at Kansas, Ohio State, and San Diego State. And those guys are all still alive.
And who was your champion again, Tom? I just got to give you a hard time.
I've got San Diego. Oh, and which one, though?
When you filled out the bounce bracket last week, who was your champion?
Oh, yes, Georgetown was my champion. And I thought that Georgetown would do it. I think a lot of people saw some upsets.
Go ahead.
I just went for Indiana schools, and I went for Purdue. But there was a reason.
You just went
I
for
it. That's just me. I went for Purdue for an odd reason, but I won't even discuss that right now. But I'm not really that much of a Purdue fan. But there's something they did when they kicked the player off the squad that needed to be kicked off at least.
They stood up for integrity.
Right. I stood for that.
The Sheets of Integrity. And that's another show, isn't it?
But y'all might want to go ahead and take your college basketball advice from me. I believe last week Tom mocked me when I picked Butler to beat Pittsburgh. And
No, actually, and I think we could go back and replay the tape. What I said was, and I know, because I always listen to all the archived shows, I said if Butler is able to beat Pitt, then it is going to be a lookout situation because that's going to catapult them right into the Final Four. I think that's what I said.
That is what he said. I'm just messing with Tom. Now let's move on to the important game of the evening. the Florida Gators and the BYU Cougars.
Is that the next one in line?
Yep, that's my Florida Gators are playing. I'll admit, I picked Notre Dame to make it to the Final Four. They didn't do it. That's why it's called March Madness. Florida State got it. Florida State's a great story. We'll get into that in a little bit. Let's look at the Florida Gators, though. Billy Donovan, he's won two national championships in college. He was the last head coach to win back-to-back national titles in 06 and 07. 07, he beat the Mike Conley, Greg Oden, and Ohio State Buckeyes. Some of his famous players include Al Horford, now starting for the Atlanta Hawks. Joakim Noah of the NBA Eastern Conference, leading Chicago Bulls. Mike Miller, who plays with LeBron, Wade, and Bosh down in Miami. But in this year's Florida Gator team, you have Chandler Parsons. A lot of people tell you Parsons isn't a good player. He only averages 10 points and 7 rebounds. That's because he's not a selfish player. If you need him to score, he'll score. If you need him to rebound, he'll rebound. If you need him to assist, he'll assist. He could sit here and he could keep the ball and he could dunk it all night and average 30 points. So he's a team player. Type of player the Indiana Pacers might need, but that's for the NBA segment. But at the end of the day, Florida's taller, stronger, leaner, and mad at BYU. Mm-hmm. They're mad at BYU. They've been disrespected all week long. All week long, they've heard about BYU, Jimmer Fredette. For 365 days to today's date, last year, BYU knocked off the Florida Gators 99-92 in double overtime in the first round of the March Madness.
Uh-oh.
Being that's a Gator like fan, that's not going to happen tonight.
Well, you know, it is. It's time to get serious, and once you're in the the Sweet 16, it's time to start getting serious and start playing some real basketball. And I tell you what, the motivation for Richmond to beat Kansas, for example, and I would not be surprised if that actually does come together. I mean, it's a stretch. It's a stretch, but I certainly wouldn't be surprised to see Kansas. To see Richmond beat Kansas. We've seen some serious upsets, and I wouldn't say that there's any real serious Cinderella team. However, those teams that want to move forward, this is the time to shine right here in this semifinal in the Sweet 16. I don't know, is BYU a serious threat for the Final Four? I think that it could be, that provided that they weren't mentally wounded when they the day they lost the big man Brandon Davis. The day they lost him, I don't know if they just kind of got it in their head that maybe they couldn't make it all the way. But before they lost him, I think everybody considered them a legitimate Final Four contender. And I think for every part of that, we need to seriously look at the fact that if they can get their head in the game, they can beat Florida. And as you kind of alluded to there, Josh, did Florida learn anything from last year's NCAA tournament, or did the Gators just are they doomed again? You think? But I don't know, and but we're about to find out. BYU and Florida, the second of Thursday Sweet 16 games coming up, and be up on right here at the Quarter Mile, which is where we're at, and it's come on out and meet the Balance and Trackside Review team, teaming up together to bring you a two-hour magnificent show of awesomeness. Awesomeness. And that's not even a Sarah Palin word.
Yeah, and I'm just standing here in awe of you two guys talking about the NCAA and all the good stuff other than racing. But I notice you keep playing with the with the computers here. We've got a couple of computers sitting out here, mm-hmm. and it's kind of interesting seeing the stats, something I've not done before, other than one-on-one at my desk. Mm-hmm. So,
well, it looks like we got a caller here on the line here. Caller, welcome to the Balance Trackside Review. How are you doing tonight?
Well, we're not doing too bad. How are everybody out there in Brownsburg?
We're doing good. Who's this?
This is Brian Scott.
Hey, Brian Scott, how you doing? So glad.
Not too bad tonight. How you guys doing?
Hey, man, we're doing fantastic.
I'm doing better now than I'm talking to you instead of Tom.
Well, we want to know why you're not down here at the Quarter Mile with us, we devoured a pizza already. We had some beverages and Why aren't you down here?
Well, mainly because if I'm going to come down there, I may not make it home. So sometimes it's just better safe to stay home and you know put the games on the big screen. Besides, Butler's going to be a late game tonight, so trying to get back home to Lebanon, Indiana from Brownsburg at about 1 in the morning sometimes is not the best idea.
Well, what are you saying about Brownsburg there?
It's more about saying about me.
Question for you. Since you're part of the radio team for the Butler Bulldog football team, tell me Butler couldn't get you a ticket and fly you down to Big Easy?
I think Brian is heart is out there in Columbus. Isn't that where your heart is based on your Facebook picture, Mr. Scott?
Well, you know, I'm a longtime Buckeye, but I've spent a lot of years, I've spent the last 6-7 years involved with the Bulldogs. So it's great right now that both these teams are on opposite sides of the bracket. Should miracle upon miracles come and both these teams end up in the championship game, I'll probably be wearing an Ohio State jersey and my Butler ball cap.
You like working for Butler, right?
So what do you think is going to happen tonight against Butler, Wisconsin? And you missed as we were talking about UConn. We're going to let you just catch up to us. We got UConn in San Diego, and we've got Florida and BYU. What's going to happen in those two games? Do you think UConn is a serious threat for the Final Four? Do you think that and BYU, both of those are a serious threat, or what do you think is going to happen there?
Well, I had UConn as a Final Four team. I had Ohio State, Kansas, UConn, and Florida as my Final Four. And I think especially coming off that Big East tournament where you saw them take 5 games in 5 days, what I'm really curious about is to see how they do coming off of a break. I mean, they had the tournament run where they went right back into the NCAA tournament. Now they've had about 6 days off. And we'll see how they handle the break. Sometimes that momentum kind of carries you in to the opening rounds of the tournament, especially when you're not playing some of the better teams out there. We'll see how UConn does tonight against the San Diego State team, who's had they've had their scares. I mean, they go to double overtime against Temple. They take care of Northern Colorado pretty well, but if I remember right, bet they did a lot of that in the second half. So it'll be an interesting game there to see. I really think UConn is up there. I think they could take Duke, but that was really – I made those Final Four before Kyrie Irving came back, before we saw that he's actually playing pretty well. I make my pick. I picked those four. I'll stick with it, but I think Kyrie Irving makes a big difference should UConn and Duke match up.
Right. Well, and I tell you what, it's going to be a good matchup. And like I said before, I would not be surprised in the least if Richmond beats Kansas. Now, I'm not saying that that's going to happen. That's not necessarily my bold prediction of the night, but I certainly wouldn't be surprised. Go ahead, Dustin.
It's my honor at this time to welcome back for one night only the redneck from Philly.
Hey, Brian, you never met the redneck from Philly. The redneck from Philly, Mr. Kevin Chapman, was one of our original founders and co-hosts, and he moved on to bigger and better things. And Kevin is a personal chef. He was with the Pacers for a while, right?
Yep, yeah, worked with the Pacers for about 6 months and then decided to leave there and branch off on my own.
So, real quickly, Brian, don't run away. We're going to let Kevin just give us a quick commercial. He started a business, a personal chef business. Tell us about Chaps there, Kevin.
Well, basically what it is the for the couples that don't know how to throw events and they want to have a party but don't want to have the hassle of the cooking and everything else, I'll go in the home. I'll cook for an event. I got an event coming up for 4 adults. The husband that booked it made this comment that he's glad I'm going to be there because his wife can't cook. So I don't know if that was good or bad that he told me his wife can't cook, but I'm going to take it as that's good for my business.
I've had some of Kevin's cooking before. I don't know if you remember. About 8 months ago, I had some of his cooking. He can cook.
You know, and they always say, don't trust a skinny chef. Well, I hate to tell you, I am a skinny chef, and you can trust me.
Well, did you get your brackets filled out?
I got my brackets filled out, and I'm embarrassed to say that I pretty much sucked at picking brackets this year.
When
the losses started going downhill after that. I mean, I
picked final?
Butler to go to the first round, win it. Then I picked them lose Pittsburgh. I picked Louisville to win. I'm not doing well.
Mm-hmm.
Mine is now pretty much a trash than brackets.
Trash brackets, like most people brackets. Brian, how was your personal bracket all the way through?
It wasn't too bad. Of course, I whiffed like many did on Louisville. I really thought they were they could put up a pretty good run, especially into the Sweet 16. But I whiffed on Louisville pretty much big time. I think I had I had Xavier going into the round of 32. They got beat by Marquette. So all in all, you know, they say if you want to pick the brackets by the chalk, you'll generally never go wrong when it comes to the Final Four. I think I've done fairly decent. I had St. John's moving past Gonzaga. So, I missed that one as well. So, all in all, there hasn't been, I think, that many upsets. I mean, we're all looking at VCU. Going from a first four team to a Sweet 16 team, and this matchup with VCU and Florida State coming up tomorrow night, that's rather interesting. And you mentioned you think Richmond can knock off Kansas. If you're going to have a 10, 11, and 12 seed, 10 or 11 against a 12 going into the game on Sunday, that would be something. I don't think anybody would have picked that. But, they weren't too bad. So, like I said, my Final Four is still intact. But, I'll see how Kyrie Irving does. He could blow that up for me with UConn.
Right. Well, let's. I'm glad you called it a good time because we were just getting. You're caught up with us now with the show there, Brian. And first of all, I want to tell you what a great job you did juggling XRB Radio, local sports here in town, and doing your news stuff on XRB, plus doing Butler football and all of that good stuff. You're a man of many hats. I want to know, does your wife ever get mad at you for not being at home?
Yeah, that just means that she can watch whatever she wants on TV.
That's why my wife is.
I go out and do the ball games. I come home, and the first things you complain, you've got a ball game on. Don't you get tired of it? And I go, well, no, not really.
Not really. There's the fun
she
part, and then
the
there's
TV.
The work part.
Yeah.
What's up with those glasses Brad Stevens is wearing? You know the Bulldogs are 4-0 since he put them on. Did something magical? Is this going to be the year of the glasses, do you think, Brian?
No, there's actually a story behind that. Brad Stevens had to miss a game earlier this year. He had an issue with contacts that really caused him some pretty major eye irritation and actually cost him a game. I mean, he got so bad he missed one of the late season games in the Horizon League, and he's just decided to ditch the contacts. And go with glasses instead because he hasn't found a set evidently that he can't be comfortable in. So, I guess the boy wonder is going to look good with or without glasses. He's still going to look, like he's about 22 out there. But if a 22 going on about 50, because he's definitely wise beyond his years as far as X and O's on a basketball court.
Well, I want to hold that thought for a second. What we want to do is when we come back, we're going to break down this Butler Bulldog and Wisconsin Badger game. We want to thank the Quarter Mile Pub in Brownsburg for letting us come out here. Come on out. They've got some great food specials. They've got all the games on and all the TVs. They got some card games going on, some video games back there in the back, some great pizza. We devoured some pizza. And also, guys, we want to thank one of our other sponsors, the Bloodhound Underground Construction Company. I don't have my notes right here with me, but appreciate them being a co-sponsor of the show for the night, and also, of course, trackside review. And we're going to be on XRB every Thursday night on I believe it's from 7 to 8, but I'll have to check the time on that. So, and as we add our other stations, and keep in mind, you guys can always listen to our archive shows on The Balance, www.thebalanceonline.com, and you can also listen to download the archive shows off of iTunes. When we get back, we're going to break down the rest of the March Madness Sweet 16 games for tonight and this weekend. We're going to talk a little baseball, and we're going to talk a little bit of NBA action and so forth. So when we get back, we'll be talking more with Brian Scott, Kevin Chapman here, and we'll have R.J. Cunningham coming up in the next segment of the show. And come on down, because we're going to give away some tickets to the Indianapolis Speedrome, courtesy of Trackside Review.
Do you like what you hear on The Balance?
What happened? Okay, don't move.
Well,
all right, we're back. Sorry about the audio difficulties. Brian, are you with us?
I'm here.
Brian, are you with us?
Hello, check.
All right, are we back? Hey, Brian,
I can hear
you. Hear us?
I can hear
sorry
you, Brian.
About that. I don't know what happened. We had some crazy stuff go on in here. The spookiness of... it must have been us talking about the Bulldogs or something. All right, guys, we apologize about the technical difficulties. That just is the beauty of live radio. And, Brian, I think anybody knows that better than you. It's you, right, buddy?
it can be a challenge at times.
I tell you, well, the thing is, when Skype is great when it works, but when it doesn't work, it's like, oh, no, we're left exposed. And you do not want me exposing myself.
That's
for sure. Okay, what we're doing here real quick, guys, is we're out here at the quarter mile. This is the Balance Trackside Review. So glad that you could join us. My name's Tom. Right alongside me is $2 Bill Josh. And one of the original founders of the Balance is the redneck from Philly, Kevin Chapman, and Brian Scott, all with us, hanging out tonight. We're talking basketball. We got the Butler Bulldogs and the Wisconsin Badgers. Josh, I'm going to let you break it down, and then Brian, and then I'll follow the lead, and then Kevin, if you want to. So, Josh, go ahead, and Brian, just follow up right after Josh there.
I'm going to take Butler first and then Wisconsin. You know, you got Brad Stevens. He's 34, maybe 35 now. He's no older than that. He's got the best record any collegiate head coach has ever had, not only at the age of 34, but after five seasons. He loved Butler. He loved at Butler. I'm an IU fan. I'd love to see Brad Stevens come to Indiana University. I don't think that'll happen. Butler has some rich alumni. I can't think of any, but I'm sure they have some since it costs $50,000 or something like that to go there per year. But, you know, everybody thought they had a magical run last year. They lost Gordon Hayward. You know, he went to the NBA where he's a decent player. He doesn't start, and he doesn't get a lot of minutes necessarily for the Jazz. Everybody wrote him off, though. Butler might make the tournament. They're only going to win a game or two. They beat Old Dominion in the first round. Most of the national pundits, Dickie V, I'm talking to you, thought Old Dominion would blow Butler out. And again, Dickie V, I'm talking to you. It was you who said Butler didn't have a chance against Pittsburgh. And if I remember right, you said Butler doesn't have a chance against Wisconsin. That's all the fuel they need. They opened up a new can. They're tired of being disrespected. But if you look at it, Butler plays just like Wisconsin. They're both low down, dirty, nasty defensive teams. If you want to play 81-80 basketball, they can. They'd rather play. And I'm scarred for life when I saw this. Wisconsin moves a 36-33 game. But, you know, I would say Brad Stevens is a young Bo Ryan. What would you say, Brian?
I mean, there's probably nobody right now in basketball that is pushing the buttons better than Brad Stevens. I mean, pretty much from the play, both plays with Old Dominion and Pitt, the final possessions that the Dogs scored on, plays drawn up on the sideline, work to perfection. Now, you got to have guys that can execute, and that's really when you look at Wisconsin and Butler is what I think you're going to see the biggest similarity. These two teams execute, and they execute well. It's really something to be said by both Bo Ryan and Brad Stevens.
Well, you know, one thing I was listening to ESPN today, watching PTI and all, and I think it was the first time I've actually heard everybody say that they don't understand why Butler is considered an underdog, and they don't understand why Butler doesn't get the respect that they deserve. And, you know, it's amazing how everybody said they're too small, they couldn't do this, they couldn't do that, and they've proven that the size isn't always what wins the game. It's how hard you play. And again, Brad Stevens, there's a lot of colleges, not just IU, that would like to get him as a coach. But I don't ever expect him to leave Butler. He loves Butler. Butler loves him. And I don't think anybody could fit better for Butler basketball than him. His persona, his everything about Brad Stevens fits perfect with Butler University and the Butler basketball program.
And one of the things I see with Butler is much in this, you know, Brad Stevens and Butler are setting themselves up for a good run here. One of the advantages is one of the things that a lot of people you say is, you know, do they not get the respect? I think they're getting the respect. They still will have the one thing to fight from each year, and that's coming out of the Horizon League. But Butler is starting to set themselves up with Brad Stevens, very similar to the way Mark Few and Gonzaga have set themselves up. You've got a squad out there, a team that you can go back every year and say, hey, we can get to the tournament. You know, and they can recruit off of that, saying, you know, hey, you want to get to the tournament? You know, we went to the NCAA final game, championship game. We've been to our second consecutive Sweet 16. You can do a lot of recruiting off of that. And Brad Stevens, he's young enough that, you know, a lot of these kids, he really relates to these kids well.
And Butler is really setting himself up for, I think, some long-term success.
Right, and I agree, and that pretty much nails it on the head there, Brian. And what a lot of people don't know, of course, us guys here in Indianapolis have been following Butler for a long time, have seen that pattern begin to take shape, and the thing is, they're just now starting over the last couple of years to get the national attention that really is not a big surprise to us, especially us that's been covering local media for a long time, and they have positioned themselves and prepared themselves to be where they're at right now. So it really is no big surprise to them at all. In fact, that's what Brad Stevens said in an interview. It's really not a big surprise. Now, what I want to do here real quickly is I just want to break down some keys to the game, Josh. We got the Badgers and Wisconsin. And quite frankly, I think that Butler's going to have to play with everything they got, because if Wisconsin comes out and plays with everything they got, I think that Wisconsin absolutely will win this game. I think it's going to be an extremely close game, and I think that Wisconsin could come out with a win if Butler does not watch their free throws, take their time, and play the kind of Butler basketball that they know. Josh?
I would say the Houston keys to the game, Andrew Smith has absolutely got to learn to stay out of foul trouble. When he's in the ball game, that can put Matt Howard on the smaller guy, a guy similar to his size, that's enabling Matt Howard to stay out of foul trouble. Matt Howard's learned how to shoot the three, which is very impressive. Matt Howard may get a look at the NBA. He probably won't. He's probably done whenever Butler's done, at least as far as big-time basketball is concerned in America. But the key for the game, Andrew Smith has to stay out of foul trouble. Shelvin Mack needs to keep shooting threes. Brad Stevens is the smartest coach in college basketball, bar nobody. And he said that Butler's the next Gonzaga. I would say no, don't sell the Bulldogs short. If you want to see who Butler's like, go down to Durham, North Carolina, and check out the Blue Devils, because in 10 years you're going to be saying Duke who? We're familiar with Butler. I think Brad Stevens is the next Coach K, and Butler's the next Duke.
I couldn't agree with you more. And Brian, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, as far as what I see in the game, the front court is going to be kind of a wash. You're going to have Matt Howard and John Luehr going at it, and you know, fouls are something you always say you got to stay out of foul trouble. Well, the one thing about come tournament time, you're all working with officials that you've never seen before. You don't know what conference they came from. They could be the biggest ticky-tack officials that there ever was. They could be Big Ten officials that, you know, there won't be any Big Ten officials here because Wisconsin's playing. But you could have some officials that just sit there and let you have a full WWE Rock'em Sock'em Robot type game. So fouls are something you have to watch, but I don't know if you can. The one thing I always if not liked is when you say, you know, watch foul trouble. Well, once you start and you put that into a kid's mind, they play tentative. When they play tentative, they don't play well. So I just want to see them play like they have been playing. The big matchup is going to be probably Howard and Luehr. Both of them can take their game out if need be. They can both bang it inside. Butler does have an advantage that if Smith is out of the game, Matt Howard, who's been brought from the four, can come back into the five, easily get underneath and bang if need be. That three-point shot, as Josh brought out, yeah, that's been something very a little bit of a surprise this year, but a great weapon to have in their arsenal. Where this game's going to probably break down and going to be decided is in the backcourt. How well does Butler handle Jordan Taylor? If they can't handle him, I mean, Taylor and Shelvin Mack can probably go at each other all game long. Then it becomes, who else can step up? And I'm really looking for Sean Van Zandt to be that guy that kind of comes in. And if he can give them some good perimeter shooting, especially, that could be a big, big difference. If you look at these matchups, there's not two more evenly teams. Wisconsin scores a fewer points. They give up fewer points. Butler, a little bit better in rebound. Pretty much everything's even, except for turnovers, where Wisconsin has a bit of an advantage, and Wisconsin is a much better free throw shooting team. So you want to make sure you keep the Badgers off the free throw line as best as possible. Otherwise, this should just be a great matchup. It should just be two very evenly matched teams. And I really think it's going to be the backcourt that decides it tonight.
Right, and I absolutely agree. This is going to be a good matchup between the Badgers and the Bulldogs. Again, guys, come on out here to the Quarter Mile in Brownsburg. We're having a great time. Thanks for joining us on our first primetime show, and it's going to be going on every Thursday night. And beginning Thursdays in April, we're going to be also here live, but also on XRB, although just on a programming note, that will run in a tape delay type situation. So it'll be like an hour after the fact. But you guys will already be down here having a great time and so forth. We want to thank Quarter Mile Pub. We want to thank Trackside Review, the magazine. We also want to thank Bloodhound Underground Utility Locators right here in Brownsburg. They are, again, utility locating, ground-penetrating radar, vacuum, sewer pipe, camera inspection, utility mapping, leak detection. So give them a call, Bloodhound Underdog Utility, there in Brownsburg. You can call them toll-free, 888-858-9830 or 317-858-9830. Probably 858 something. I didn't take very good notes, Brian. I don't typically do commercials. You're going to have to train me on how to do that, buddy.
While we have you on the air, Brian, I'd like to issue you a challenge or an invitation, rather. Next
All
Friday
right.
night, why don't you come down and join us on today? I'd like to say that you're one of the ones that helped us really get here. You know, you helped us a lot out a lot around Super Bowl Sunday with our 3-hour show, and I'd love for you to come see here on the 7th this next Thursday night.
Well, are you going to accept that challenge, Mr. Scott?
Well, I tell you what, I'll clear it out. I'll clear it out with the boss, make sure that it's okay. But yeah, I'd be happy to.
Right, Kevin, you've been kind of quiet over there. Again, tell us a little bit about what you've got. You've got Chaps. Personal chef business that you've just recently started, and we want to give you a shout out for that. And you're out there, and really, when you think of personal chefs, Kevin, you don't. It's not really it's not really for the wealthy. It could be a family reunion, it could be a graduation, it could be a wedding reception, or
right. And I want to try to stay small. The reason I went into the business is
because you're not a caterer.
My personal, I'm not a caterer. I'm not going to do 500 people. I'm going to do your graduation parties. You got somebody graduating high school, you want to throw a party, 20, 30 people. That's where I come in. You tell me what your food allergies are. You tell me what type of food you like, and I take care of the rest. You know, you have you're a single guy or you're a married guy, and you have an anniversary coming up, wife's birthday, you want to give her the day off, and you don't know how to cook. That's where I come in there, too. I could come out, cook a dinner for two, serve it, and all you have to do is worry about enjoying the company of your wife. So it's a very wide variety.
You say that's like a big task for a lot of guys. Some, you know,
that?
I'm kidding. I've only been married for a year. Brian, how long have you been married?
I've been married for about 3 years now. So,
okay.
And I do all the cooking.
Married three times, because I did the three times, not 3 years.
Well, guys, come on out. We're going to be giving away some tickets right here at the Quarter Mile. In fact, come by the table and get you a blue ticket for the Indianapolis Speedrome on April the
2nd.
April the 2nd.
Speedrome this year.
I'm trying to figure out what day April is on.
April
Friday or Saturday?
It's a Thursday or Friday or Saturday. And thanks to Trackside Review for giving us those tickets. Again, guys, Trackside Review Online, the magazine. We're going to certainly give them the floor here in just a few minutes in part two of the show. When we dedicate a lot of our show to racing, we're still going to talk sports, but we're going to dedicate it to racing. Trackside Review, the magazine online. And of course, Trackside brought Steve the Stat Man around. And I tell you what, we challenge anybody that knows anything about racing to go head-to-head on Stat Man Steve here. And so come out and meet all of us. And I would say you could meet Brian Scott, but he's not here. But he's our Charlie's Angel guy. Say hello, Angels, Brian.
Yeah, that's just so wrong on so many levels.
That's what we're going to start calling you, Brian. That's your nickname, Brian's
Charlie.
Angel.
I don't know which Angel Tom is supposed to be. When I watch the show, the Angels look a whole lot better than Tom.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, one more game we got left to break down for tonight, anyway, Brian, is that was the last game, wasn't it? I'm sorry.
Yeah,
we broke down for
Duke, Arizona.
Oh, Duke and Arizona. I knew I was missing one. See, here's what happened, Brian. These guys moved my notes around, and my teleprompter went bad, and, you know, I'm pulling an Obama, and I don't know where I'm at. I don't know what I'm saying. Who's Mike and who's Mike in this scenario?
I'm Mike Golan.
I'm the thin one.
That would make you green.
That's right. Well, hey, Brian, give us your Brian Scott tutorial on Duke and Arizona. Both of those teams, any one of those teams that win, really, I'm not surprised. I mean, really, though, I think Arizona can beat Duke. I think Duke is kind of overrated this year, and just because they're Duke, I think they get that kind of eliteness because they're Duke, and they certainly have earned that. But I'm not really that impressed with them, especially during the tournament. What are your thoughts on that, Brian?
Well, Duke is still Duke. I mean, that's we do have to remember that Duke is still Duke, and every time we put these guys down, somehow they end up in the Sweet 16, Elite Eight, Final Four. As far as them playing Arizona, I kind of go against that. I think I don't see how Arizona really can keep up with them. They don't have the backcourt. You've got Nolan Smith and Seth Curry as the starters. And now you got Kyrie Irving coming off the bench. That's three pretty good NBA quality players right there. And there's a lot of players. I mean, the going talk is how many pros have you got on your team? Right now, Duke's got more pros than Arizona does. The front court, Arizona's probably got a fairly decent matchup, I think, with what the Plumlee and Kelly. I think they've got a decent matchup. But when Duke can sit there and just open it up from three-point land and just knock them down, that's going to be tough. Duke, been there, done that. I think they have a little bit as far as coming into this game saying, that's 16, big deal. We've been here, done that before. Arizona, they're playing closer to home. That's about as much as I can say for that. So I kind of expect Duke to really I think it'll be close for about a half, and then Duke does what Duke does, and in the second half they're able to pull away from Arizona.
So, do you, Brian, do you think this is going to be a game where Duke gets put out and goes home, or do you think Duke goes on and moves on into the tournament?
Oh, no, I think Duke moves on. I think they move on, and then they face UConn, and then that'll be, you know, will Duke have an answer for Kemba Walker? Right now, I think UConn's up by five, I see right here, so you know, I kind of, like I said, I had UConn in the Final Four. I think he may be a little bit too much for Duke to handle down low. And Connecticut also has some good outside presence. So I think UConn is a better matchup, a better challenge than Arizona will be. I think Duke gets it past Arizona. I don't think they get past UConn.
I'm switching here. We at Quarter Mile Pub, and it looks like in New Orleans the game of hot potatoes broken up. Either Florida or BYU wants to hang on to the basketball.
Well, here's the thing, and we've got about 4 minutes left in this segment, Brian, and we appreciate you joining us, and then we're going to have to switch gears to our racing part of the show. But real quickly, guys, we do got baseball coming up. We haven't forgot about the baseball fans. I know you guys are talking baseball, and Brian, you mentioned it on your Facebook earlier. It's right around the corner in more ways than one. One thing I do want to mention, XRB is going to be broadcasting all the Brownsburg baseball games, and certainly trying to work out a deal to be broadcasting the Little League games, trying to work all of that out as well. www.xrb, capital X, capital R, capital B.com. give us a listen. Brian's on every day at noon, and then they repeat his newscast, I think somewhere around 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock. And, you know, Brian does a lot, and I appreciate you coming on board with us. And, Brian, real quickly, what I wanted to talk about was the Pacers. And, Josh, I know we wanted to talk about the Pacers. Brian, does the Pacers have a legitimate shot of getting into the playoffs this year?
No, I think they got a legitimate shot at playoffs. I mean, they have got a, if I remember it, they've got a three-game lead on the Bobcats right now as the Pacers sit in the eighth and final playoff spot. Now, that'll get you a nice birthday present, you know, nice party to play against Boston, which I don't think they'd last for very long with.
Which, I don't know, that's one of those birthday presents you might want to return, huh?
I think it would be a good thing for the Pacers to make the playoffs. This has been the fact that they might make the playoffs after everything, you know, with O'Brien being canned, you bring in Frank Vogel, you still have a lot of young players on this team. I think it would be a good move. I mean, I think it would be a good thing. I think they can make the playoffs. I don't think they can. They might win a game, maybe. They might be lucky to get two in that first round, but I think they might win a game in the first round and make their reappearance into the NBA playoffs again, but I don't see them getting past much further than first round.
And I would agree, but I'm going to argue that it would be better if we didn't make the playoffs. We have some holes to fill. Tyler Hansbrough's becoming a star. We still have some holes we need to fill. We're going to need a shooting guard, and if you make the playoffs, you fall farther down the draft board. You miss a chance to get a Kimba Walker, to get a Jimmer Fredette, to get somebody like that. Or I like Honeycutt from UCLA. I think he'd be a great pace. I think he could be the next Reggie Miller. He has that type of talent. But if they make the playoffs, it looks like they're going to play the Bulls. At the moment, I believe the Bulls have the best record in the East. Celtics might
be
taking it back. If they play the Bulls, I'm going to say it's not out of the realm of possibilities for the Pacers to take that series.
Right. Well, guys, that brings us to the two-minute warning of the balance. Coming up on the flip side of the break here, we're going to turn it over to R.J. Cunningham, and we're going to kind of sit back and talk some racing along with R.J., myself, $2 Bill Josh, and we might have Redneck from Philly interject some thoughts. Brian, it's so good that you could join us, and because you're our guest of honor, we'll let you give us the quick two-minute warning of tonight's game, and we'll catch you next week, Brian. But go ahead and give us quickly the two-minute warning.
Okay, it's the two-minute warning, and we're talking basketball, not football, so I guess I wasn't sure what I was supposed to talk about right there.
I'm sorry, I didn't prep you. See, that's what happens when you're not here. You get put on the spot.
You get put on the spot, you know. I think UConn takes care of San Diego State. Right now, Florida's doing a good job with BYU. I see Butler going ahead and winning in typical Butler fashion by a bucket here against Wisconsin, and Duke knocks off Arizona.
All right, buddy. I appreciate it, Mr. Brian Scott. Hopefully we'll see you here next week. If not, Josh is going to call you Yeller. Guys, we'll be right back right here. We'll be right back from right here at the Quarter Mile Pub. That's right there off of 56th Street in Brownsburg. Trackside Review Radio Style is next. Thanks a lot, Brian, and have a good day.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance in Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, GBalance. You can also send us an email at gbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com. Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Hey, everyone. Rachel Rupert, Miss Coors Light. I'm here with Carl Edwards again, making a habit out of this every week. What was it like on the world's fastest half mile out there?
Felt really fast today. The speeds were up. The tire has a ton of grip. And this will probably be the last time we ever race on this tire here in this qualifying session. So, man, I had fun. My Scott's Fusion was fast. You know, we've been running so well. I didn't realize that, you know, the Fusion, they said to sign this in Phoenix. I didn't know that people were going to sign it the whole year. So I signed it way too big compared to everybody else. But I signed it smaller over there. And I'm just glad to be here. I mean, 2 out of 4 races is great. To start this race on the pole will be huge.
Exactly.
All right, and welcome back to Quarter Mile Pub right here on 56th Street in Brownsburg. My name's Tom, and yes, it's that time of day. It is time for Trackside Review, and it wasn't a party again for Carl Edwards out there last week. So, RJ Cunningham, Trackside Review, a lot right alongside him also is Statman Steve. Come on out, guys. We're giving away some Speed Drum tickets. If you guys have not got your blue tickets, come by and get one, and we'll give you a couple tickets, and we're going to draw that here in about 30 minutes or so. We've also got one of the original founding fathers, if you will, of the balance, Mr. Redneck from Philly, Kevin Chapman here. He's also a staff photographer for us as well, and hopefully he's out getting some good pictures. RJ, let's talk racing.
Let's talk racing. Let's talk about the icebreaker down in Brownstown that's been called for this week. Going to happen next week. Remember, short track racing is coming up with Statman Steve here helping me out, telling me what schedules are going on. Slowly but surely, we're getting into summertime racing and springtime racing here in Indiana, Ohio, Michigan, Illinois, and Kentucky. That's where Trackside Review Online, Trackside Review Magazine will be. And, hey, this time we've got a staff. I'm not doing it all by myself. I have Tom helping me. I have Statman Steve helping me. I have $2 Josh trying to take money from me.
Redneck from Philly,
I
Kevin.
I have a $2 bill sitting out there. we're ready to start playing the games, you might say. Basketball season's almost over. Baseball season's coming in. But everybody's got a chance to go to all kinds of races. My philosophy has always been set the DVR, VCR, go out to the racetracks. Short track racing is where it's at. See it live. Come back and watch the tape version of the NASCAR Craftsman Truck event, Nationwide Series. You can always watch that, and then you eliminate the commercials. You can listen to this radio show and hear these commercials, which are more important than any of those on TV anyway. So, you know, the bottom line is let's come out and see some races.
That's right. And if you guys want to check out Trackside Review, the magazine online, www.tracksidereview.com, and check it out online. Now, I know that you've been talking to a lot of race fans since you've been here today, RJ.
Oh, yeah.
Tell us what's going on in the circuit. Statman Steve, come on up here. Get him mic'd up here. And Statman Steve, we're going to talk a little bit about racing. I am going to just turn it over to you guys and let you guys kind of handle it and talk some racing for us. And I'm going to just wet my whistle or, you know, get some food.
And
I say wet my whistle, I mean water.
Right. Yeah, we know that's all we're
going to
ever drink. Statman Steve, we're ready to go here. You tell them what's on your mind, and Statman Steve is going to help me out at some of the racetracks, but he's also going to be checking the internet and letting the race fans know on Thursday nights what races that race fans can go to. Like I said, the icebreaker was supposed to happen down at Brownstown Speedway, but it's been called because of weather. Gee, what a surprise. It's Indiana. Here you go, Steve.
Well, thank you, RJ. I'm happy to be here. Can't wait for short track racing in Indiana, especially dirt track. I'm anxious to see Anderson start up this weekend. They got the Roadsters and the 200 Enduro for the front wheel drives, I think it is. And then Speed Room opens up on the 2nd with a big UAW night out there, Packer House. Looking forward to that. I'd like to take a big shout out to my good friend Shane Mills, who was wrecked last year in October Action Track Speedway out there in Terre Haute. According to Tim Spillman, the chaplain of USAC Silver Crown, he's doing very well every day. He's wanting to keep your prayers, wanting to keep everybody giving prayers. Make sure he gets better every day and gets back to racing.
I couldn't agree with you more, Steve. You know, Shane Himmel, he got banned from what was the Tom Busch series for using some Grandpa's funny tobacco or pills or whatever it was. He was just starting to get his life put back together, and he was in that tragic accident.
Right.
I remember seeing it on Speed TV. I'll never forget. I've never seen a car do that.
Right.
You know, there's been several events held for him. But Shane Himmel's not the only one.
Now, racing is a sport where it's not so much the accident as just the angles. Everybody looks at the big wrecks, and everybody panics. And, you know, sometimes your smaller wrecks that you think the guy's going to walk away from are the ones that they end up seriously injured, or like Dale Earnhardt, don't make it out alive. I mean, it's racing is one of those sports that's thrilled, and everybody loves the wrecks, and that's why everybody loves Daytonas and your figure eights because of the wrecks and things like that. But, you know, sometimes just that minor fender bender
right.
out there on that racetrack going 190 miles an hour or on the figure eights, not near 190 miles an hour.
Right.
But
remember the great Dale Earnhardt Sr. when he
yeah.
died?
When
I mean, he hit the wall like that 100 times and just laughed it off and walked away, and next thing you know, we got to put him in the ground.
And look at the cars that have flipped and rolled
right.
and went in the air, and they get out and walk perfectly
yeah.
fine. So racing, everybody calls, it's funny, you know, with being called the redneck from Philly, everybody says racing isn't a sport and it's not dangerous and all that, and I'll be the first to tell you, those guys are probably in better athletic shape than anybody would ever expect. And they probably
right.
run circles around the people that sit there talking about racing's not a sport.
Right.
I would
or they're not in shape.
Right.
Yeah,
I would
go out there and run 500 miles in one of them cars and see how good shape you're in.
Exactly.
And what's really exciting, starting Sunday on ABC, the Indy Light, well, the IndyCar series is back. It's good to see Tony Kanaan finally get a ride. He's
yes.
with KV Racing. Paul Chase is going to be back with Dryden Reinbold.
Right.
You got Anna Beatrice in a full season ride. I believe that's also with Dryden Reinbold. You got Simona DiSilvestro in a full season ride. You got Danica Patrick, Miss NASCAR. If I was Andretti, I would tell her you have an IndyCar contract. That's the only car you're going to drive, but this isn't the show for that. But there's all types of rookies. It's good to see Graham Rahal back in IndyCar full time. It's good to see Charlie Kimball, a young American, get a chance. But let's not get focused on the main thing. Now, sure, you got to have your NASCAR and you got to have your IndyCar. But for me, I would love to go out and get a beer, get a hot dog, and go out to a small dirt track, get a little dusty, and watch some USAC sprint cars, Silver Legends, that type of racing. That's where races are made.
Well, my 16th birthday, you know, my parents wanted to take me in, and you know, my 16th birthday has been a while ago. I don't want to say how many years ago, but it was.
That was just last year, Kevin.
Yeah, it was just last year. I wish, but you know, I could have picked anything I wanted for my 16th birthday, and I'll never forget it. My dad worked for Dana Corporations in Pennsylvania, and Bob Green raced at the local dirt racing track. He worked with my dad. It was my 16th birthday. I'll never forget. I was the happiest guy around because I sat next to the track, and I was the muddiest person there watching that race. But you're right. Just like in any sport, I'm a huge local guy. I love your small guys, the USACs, your smaller racetracks.
No.
To me, that is as much fun, if not more fun, than going to your big NASCAR, big F1, Indy racing events.
I would agree. I remember going out to the small dirt tracks, you know, a few years ago, and you see drivers like where did Case King come from? Where did Tony Stewart come from?
I want to let Statman Steve back on here because he's got all these printable schedules. I want him to talk about it. This is RJ, by the way. I'm letting you guys kind of run the show. I don't really care.
You're good.
I mean, I really the bottom line is I want race fans to know about short track racing while we're waiting for our new water. And Statman Steve is going to get up here, and he's going to talk about all the short tracks that he's printed. Now, in his defense, he didn't know that I want to have them all from Indiana – to Illinois, to Kentucky, to Michigan, to Ohio, Eldora Speedway, all of them. But for now, he knew that he was going to do this. I think it's been about an hour and 45 minutes, maybe 2.5 hours ago, that I pretty much put Statman Steve on staff. Steve is going to be covering short track racing in the Midwest. Where he may go to a dirt track race when I go to a pavement race, and we may argue about what races we're going to go to. But the bottom line is he's going to go one way, and I'm going to go the other. That way he can get his stats, and I can enjoy myself. No, I'm just kidding. We're going to work together trying to put some articles together. Tom is going to go do some articles. I think I might even have Josh do some articles. He seems to have this thing about IndyCars, so I may let him do a little bit of that. But anyway, I'm gonna let Steve come back on here and tell you guys kind of what's going on, and just tell you what races are going to go happening in the very near future. Here, give me a second because I got to switch mics.
Hey, Stat Boy Steve, welcome to the staff. We got to initiate you before tonight, so we forgot you got to sing a song before the show's over.
Well, I don't know what I can sing. All of our people will shut the radio off if I start to sing. But I'm looking forward to racing in Indiana, Ohio, Michigan, Illinois, Kentucky. We got Thursday Night Thunder coming back to Raceway Park this summer. It's going to stand alone. They're going to just have the sprints out there, I guess. I'm looking forward to especially Bloomington, Gas City. Oh, gosh. All the dirt tracks in Indiana, not to mention the asphalt Saturday night, Friday, Saturday, Sunday night races. They all ought to be great this year. We're looking for great new champions. We're just looking to get out there and report it all so everybody knows all the information from all the races.
Is Dakota Armstrong still in Indiana anywhere? Is he permanently in NASCAR now?
I wasn't sure on that one. I'd like to see him permanently in NASCAR. He definitely got the talent.
I would agree, and I'm looking forward, you know, the balance and trackside review. We're going to go to Eldora, Ohio. We're going to go check out NASCAR. It's going to Sparta, Kentucky.
Right. That's something new on the schedule this year. I was really glad to see Kentucky get a date. I guess they took a date from somebody else away. But NASCAR is just growing every day in America, and more people want them. So I'm looking forward to seeing more NASCAR in the Midwest. I know we got Michigan and Indy and Fontana now in Chicago, but maybe we can get some more NASCAR up in here and some other tracks here soon.
And NASCAR is certainly the big dog of the sport, but people forget that race car drivers get their start. It's not, they don't wake up one day and say, hey, let's get into NASCAR. You know, they get started. Tony Stewart raced in Indiana from,
right,
I don't know, probably time he was 6 years old on the dirt tracks. I'm sure he's at Winchester, the Speedrome.
Right. You got Tony Stewart,
Casey
Kane, all these
AJ Allmendinger, Gordon
Ditfeld, all these guys running Outlaws, Saturday night shows all over the country. Look. Last fall, I went to the Four Crown Nationals out there to Eldora. They Outlaws ran Friday night, and then they drove all night and ran in Delaware Saturday night.
Well, Trevor Bain, that's the young guy that won the Daytona.
Right.
He used to race with Jimmy Johnson's brother.
Right.
On the small tracks, and he grew up idolizing Jeff Gordon, which when you watch the all the races prior to that, that's who he drafted with. I mean, it's just, racing is, it's, you start out, your midgets and everything else is where they start from.
One thing I do want to say is, as of last week, Trevor Bain does not have a ride for the All-Star race.
Really?
That's a shame.
Sponsor him a ride for the All-Star race, so I'm hoping Roush or Hendricks or somebody will step up and give him a car because I think he'll do a good job.
He deserves it.
Yes.
And 15 minutes, we have two pairs of tickets to the UAW opening day at the Speedrome, Saturday, April 2nd, 2011. You'll see the late models, the Stocks, the Roadrunners, the Hornets, the INX Legends, one of my favorite series, the Bandaloos, the Fast Cards. They'll all be out at the Speedrome. The Bounce, Trackside Review, we'll all be out there. This will get you in the gate so you can come hang out with us at opening day at the Speedrome.
Yeah, now that's the Bandoleros. That's a little car, similar to a fast cart that I flipped multiple times in my own go-kart track. Back again here is RJ. People say that I made a change in my life after flipping that cart, and I tell them it knocked some sense into me. So anyway, I'm covering the short track racing in the Midwest with Trackside Review. I want to thank Quarter Mile Pub again. They've got a poker night here on Thursday night. So whenever you come out here, you'll see some racers. Brownsburg is the heaven for racers. And they don't come out here to advertise themselves. They come out here to relax. And they play this game, and then they'll start racing tomorrow night, Saturday night, Sunday night, and they'll just keep on going. So,
you might want to turn this mic.
Anyway, I moved. Did I move?
No, you're good.
So, anyway, blogtalkradio.com, that's where you can hear us. Trackside Review online, tracksidereview.com. That's www.tracksidereview.com. Look for the site. Look for the changes in the site. Like I said, unlike the last time I brought out Trackside Review, now we have multiple players, which I mean contributors, people that actually want to help, actually want to be involved. And these guys are here at this radio show helping me because they want to help the short track racers. I want every race fan out there to understand, when this magazine comes out and the online version is there, when you subscribe for $12 a year, half of the money that you pay, $6, will go to a local short track racer. When you subscribe to the magazine in print, the print version for $22 will get you the Trackside Review magazine for a year, which will be 10 issues, and then you will also, half of the money will go to a local short track racer. There will be only one stipulation, and that is the racer that gets the money must also be a subscriber to Trackside Review magazine, either the online version or the print version. Once again, if they subscribe to the print version, they're going to get the online version free. We'll have a separate RJ's race book, which is full of racing sponsors, because I'm very adamant about people that are involved in motorsports. If you are not involved in motorsports, then I see no reason to visit. I do want to give a shout out to, we were supposed to have a Mark Deskovic on tonight from Sprint Mart here in Brownsburg. He did come in to apologize and say that he had a Boy Scout meeting to go to, and his wife was chewing him out, which is nice to know that he's not the only one that has that happen. Anyway, the number is 852-6700. If you need a sprint car, midget part, or even any part, I want you to call him. You'll notice an article I did, a brief article on his shop. There's more than, I couldn't even count the number of shops there are in Brownsburg and Indianapolis, all over the Midwest, that help these racers. If you look at the website, you'll notice on my blogs that I'm talking every week about just how much money that short track racing brings into the economy of not only the Indiana area, the world, not just the United States, the world. And there are so many car parts that are made and sold. And these racers need your help, fans. When you're out there listening to this, go to www.tracksidereview.com, a blog talk radio. You can see the balance online. And, you know, slowly but surely, I'm going to be back there in strong force. I'll have at least 300 or 400 stores carrying the magazine. So it's going to take me a little while to relearn how to do all this. And we will have some video, too, from Tim Matic and Gary Holder. Gary's going to do some video for us. He called me today. He wants to be involved. He's on the way to New York right now, tinmatic.com. I want you to look at his stuff. I want video. I want video online. I want race fans all over the world to know what I'm trying to do. Keep in mind, Tony Stewart, Jeff Gordon, they didn't jump right into a NASCAR event. We were talking about Trevor Bayne earlier tonight and how he started in the short track racing. If fans, you need to understand, you will not enjoy NASCAR or IndyCar nearly as much if you just go to a NASCAR event. If you've seen that driver run a short track race in a midget or a sprint car or a Silver Crown car or even a stock car at the short track level, when they reach that big time level of racing, you will have in your mind and you will know whether or not that driver is going to be successful or not. So anyway, once again, anyway, somebody else take it over. I'm not right. Blank here. Go ahead, John.
I'm going to go ahead and take this over for a little bit, and we're going to get the tickets away. We're going to break down some races. But, you know, and I'm going to go ahead, and we're going to – the balance is going to do something with RJ here. When we go to the tracks, I don't know if we're going to have to get clearance. Not only are we going to sell subscriptions, we're going to have a bucket at the table. where you could donate money, 5, 10, whatever you feel like donating, to go to these small track drivers. Shane Heimel's just one example. There's plenty of drivers out there who are injured. You think because they're drivers, they can pay the bills or whatnot. But we're going to do that for them.
Yeah, I want to talk about Bloomington Speedway. They're opening up a new division this year, Hornet Racing. They seem to have a pretty good draw, and I don't know what their car count's going to be. But they open up Friday night, April 15th, season opener. They're going to have sprint cars, super stocks modified, and the new Hornet series. So I'm sure they'd appreciate it if you all come out and watch them. They, the more people they get in the stands, the harder they're going to race. Also, you got Thursday Night Thunder coming back starting June 16th, Indianapolis Raceway. Excuse me, I am sorry. Yeah, May 12th, Indianapolis Raceway Park is the first one. And then June 16th, this is the second one. That'll be a Thursday night event. From what I understand, they don't have TV coverage yet, but they're trying to. I'm looking forward to the Speed Room season. Looking forward to Gas City, Lincoln Park, Paragon, Winchester.
No.
Oh, especially Eldora. Eldora's got great racing the whole season long. Looking forward to Indianapolis Raceway Park. They've got the trucks coming up, the Nationwide Series coming up this fall. It just should be an awesome, awesome year for racing in Indiana.
All right. And thanks, Mr. Statman Steve. Don't walk away there. Just wanted to make sure that I got the plug in. We're down here at the Quarter Mile Pub here in Brownsburg. What a great place for some pizza, wings, food, brew, whatever you guys want. They got some card games of water. And they got all the games on all throughout the thing, plus some video games back there. Also, Bloodhound Underground Utility locators here in Brownsburg. Want to thank you very much for being a part of this show. Guys, we have about 30 minutes left. We're going to give away some tickets right here tonight for the Indianapolis Speedrome. We're going to give those away in about 5 minutes. So what I need you to do, if you don't have a ticket and you're here at the Quarter Mile, come on up here and get you a blue ticket, and we'll get you in. Yeah, as soon as we can get all the tickets out here, we will we'll draw here. We'll have Statman Steve draw, and we'll do that. And that's for the Indianapolis Speedrome. All right, guys, so good to have you along, Trackside Review. This has been a great show tonight. We've got just a little bit of time, 917-889-8516. Give us a call. Tell us what you're thinking. Tell us if you want to talk racing here with RJ or Statman Steve or that redneck from Philly or myself or Josh. Or just come on down here to the Quarter Mile Pub in Brownsburg right off 56th Street. Come on in and say hi. You can't miss us when you come in the door. We're right here on the left. Okay, guys, it's a good night for some basketball and some good night to talk racing. RJ, Statman Steve, what's going on? And guys, we're going to make our driver picks here as we get close to the end of the show. We want to make sure that we leave some time for some NASCAR and stuff, but go right ahead.
Okay, you mentioned NASCAR. I'd just like to say this NASCAR on at Atlas. They send them from Daytona.
At least come up with something original. When I talked with you Wednesday night about being in the show, you said, hey, I'm going to say, watch me say this, does NASCAR own an Atlas? See, it would have been, you took the shock factor away, buddy.
I guess so, but NASCAR, you guys got to get an Atlas. I mean, these teams are driving back and forth across the United States.
Needlessly, I might add.
Right, and, you know, you say you want to save money, but come on. when they've got to take 3 and 5 trips across the United States, just go back and forth to California, Phoenix. And, you know, I know there's race fans out there that want to see it, but let's set it up to where them drivers and teams can go out there and do it all in 3 or 4 weeks.
I've often had this thought, and I would make sure to see what RJ and Steve and Tom have to think about this. Why don't we knock the Southwest out, knock the Southeast out, go knock out the Northeast, come to the Midwest.
There you go.
Do it. Divide the country in four and do one part of the country, move on, and then move on and move on.
I mean, Daytona's got 2 races. Talladega's got 2 races.
Bristol has 2 races.
Martinsville. What about Indianapolis? I mean, they give us 1 race a year. It's the biggest race of their year. More people at the Indianapolis Brickyard 400 than any other track they've got, but they'll only give us one race.
Well, the next race is out in California, correct?
Right.
Fontana, California, Jeff Gordon's home track. Well, even though he's from right here in Indiana.
Yeah, but he's originally from California.
So that's his home track.
Johnson fell.
Yeah.
We're all going to Jimmy's house for dinner. Hey, guys, we want to hear your thoughts. 917-889-8516. We're here at the Quarter Mile Pub in Brownsburg. Come on out, say hi, meet the trackside team, meet the balance team, meet myself, $2 Bill Josh, RJ, Racing RJ Cunningham, Statman Steve. Statman Steve is getting ready to give away those tickets. So,
hey, Steve, why don't you go around?
We're going to give away two sets of tickets. So when you get the winners, bring them over here. All right. Hey, you probably want to take the ticket.
You probably want to carry that with you.
Oh. All right, go ahead and make one round. Okay. Last call to get your tickets. Last call for tickets. Last call for water. Hey, guys, come on out here. We're having a great time here at the Quarter Mile Pub watching some basketball. We've got Butler coming up at 10 o'clock right now. We're watching UConn and San Diego State doing battle. And then right after that, we've got Florida and BYU and, of course, Duke.
And tied in the half, 36-36 here in the fourth. Seven good game for the Gators and Jimmer Fredette. As always, he's Jimmer having a great game for the Cougars.
There you go.
Yeah, well, when I talk racing, I don't watch basketball. But that's okay, guys. I understand.
Hey.
You guys are still in the running. You haven't lost your $20.
You haven't won my money yet.
Now, one of the things that we have not had a chance, and maybe that was while I was out getting water and food.
Good job.
Like a little dog. You have to get your food and water.
I got to have my food and water. Now you're going to poop. All right, guys. But you and I, RJ, we visit a little small racing shop today.
Right.
That's really what it's all about.
That's
and
right.
What I want you to do is just talk a little bit about that shop, who we went and saw today, what it is that they do. Now, that might not mean a lot to you and the general public across the United States here that's listening to us all over the United States. We want to thank all of our listeners from coast to coast. But we went down Racer's Row is what I call it.
There's race car shops all in Brownsburg, anywhere from the big NHRA drivers to some of the up-and-coming IndyCar teams to, like, Sprint Mart here. Basically, this is racing heaven, and there's racing heavens in
you gotta draw
pretty
two.
Much every big
he only drew
city,
one.
Really, because there's short tracks everywhere. The Mark at Sprint
here,
Mart,
let me redraw.
He does
let me
to be
redraw.
Able to
okay.
do this. He's got a beautiful,
right.
nice, new facility.
Bring him up here.
In partnership with Competition Welding.
Hey,
and they
bring
make,
them up here.
Sprint cars and so on. And they sell these products. They sell anything from bumpers to radiators to just anything a racer needs. I told him when we went over there, let's just take this sprint car out of here. It's on these rollers. Let's just roll it out here. It's only about a mile and a half, and nobody wanted to do it. So we basically went out and Mark came by, as I said earlier, and he mm-hmm. couldn't make it. The reason he couldn't make it, really, was not the fact that he doesn't want to be here.
Oh, no, that would probably be up there
tomorrow.
He worked
in the race car shop from 9 in the morning until 6 o'clock in the evening, supplying these race car parts for these teams and drivers. But he also works a night shift, folks, and he works another 8-hour shift somewhere else so he can afford to do both. The love of racing has gotten him to the point where he is dog tired. And, you know, he's still got a family to support and everything else, but he's still doing the racing gig. And, you know, when I talk about racing and the short track level of racing, I'm talking about guys just like that. They support their family. They go out and work a regular job. Or, you know, their wives might work a little harder than they have to so they can all do this gig together. And it really does mean something to me. And, you know, back when I started Trackside Review in 2000, to be quite honest with you, I never realized that it was that prevalent that so many families put their life's work and blood and sweat, both the husband and the wife and the kids. And the husband worked two jobs, the wives would work two jobs. And to me, that's so important for the race fans to understand that they work a regular 8-to-5 job, take their disposable income and go to a racetrack. So I'm trying to help in the smallest way I can, or I should say the only way I can, in splitting my income with the magazine to help these racers. And believe me, I'm in nowhere shape form to be able to do as much as I would want to. But, you know, I think I can help. And one of these days, Mark will be in here. Once again, that's Sprint Mark. That's 317-852-6700. That's 468 Southport Circle, Unit 100, Brownsburg, Indiana, 46112, your full-service discount speed shop. And if you have a chance to, I've always told people, you will not regret racing. You will regret not racing. So if you have a business or you would like to be involved in motorsports, by all means, go see Mark. Go see any race car shop. If you would think about it, Tony Stewart and all these drivers started in their late teens, or early teens, I should say, or maybe in 8 or 9 years old. I can help you. I'll hook you up with somebody that will put you on the racetrack and let your family have some fun. You'll keep your family completely out of trouble because their child, your child, will want to be able to do this. This is something that will keep them occupied in a very positive way. Josh, what do you got?
This is something I'm doing totally separate of the balance, unless Tom would like to get involved. You know, the more I see him, I hear you say week after week how these drivers, they need extra help. You let me know when you have 12 subscribers, and I will give you $10 for each of your first 12 subscribers to give to any race car driver team that you feel.
There you go.
There we go.
From
there
the balance, you know what? And I'll match that. That's $24 from the balance for when you reach that. And here's the thing, guys. As you come out on Thursday night, we're going to have a little helmet here. And really what we want you to do, really what we want you to do with that helmet is just drop a little money in there for the racers. And what we're going to do is we're just going to give that money right back to the racers. And,
that's right.
And you know, that's what that's going to be about. Well, we've got our winners here. Mr. RJ Cunningham, I know they're standing right next to you. Go ahead, winner number one. What's your name?
Tammy Lawrence.
Give her
Tammy
a mic
Lawrence
there.
Won.
Mike, you're up there. Mike. Hi, Tammy. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. You having a good time here at the quarter mile tonight?
I'm having a great time.
Are you a race fan? Now, are you a race fan?
I guess I
it's okay if you're not, but it's okay if you're not. Well, we're doing a national radio show right now called The Balance and Trackside Review. So glad that you could join us, and also you can hear us on AM 1610 XRB, but on national you can hear us www.thebalanceonline.com, or you can also hear us on Blog Talk Radio on a national scale. We're going coast to coast right now. So, Tammy, real quick, tell the nation anything you want to tell them. Who's your favorite driver?
Well, I prefer, I'm drawing a blank right now. I am absolutely drawing a blank. I prefer...
Don't worry about all those millions of people that are listening to you right now.
I am drawing a blank. Okay.
What's your favorite series?
USAC, or NASCAR, or
NASCAR.
Okay, all right. Well, we appreciate you getting in our drawing. We're going to do this every Thursday night. So glad that you could join us. Make sure you listen to us online as well.
Okay. Thank you.
Here's your ticket.
Thank you.
Hey, somebody drew a blank beside me.
Give her the mic.
What's your name, huh?
Lori Weddle.
Lori Weddle. I knew a Weddle. I went to school with a Weddle. Oh, no, that's not it.
Give
anyway, Lori won tickets here to the Speedrome, and she's going to be mic'd up right now.
Hi, Lori. Welcome to The Balance and Trackside Review. National radio show that we do right here. We do this every week. We just started doing it here at the Quarter Mile. Now, are you a race fan?
Yes, sorry.
Okay, who's your favorite driver?
Gordon.
Gordon?
Yes.
Okay.
I can see your 500 fan, too. You got on a nice 500 jacket.
So, do you like any particular IndyCar?
You know, I'm really not that much into the new drivers, but the old drivers, yes.
The old drivers, like the AJ Foyts and the Al Unsers and that sort of.
Al Unsers.
Okay. Are you winning tonight?
No.
No.
Right
now. Well, I tell you what, you're always a winner with us. Here's your two tickets.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining us. Have a good day.
challenge some of our listeners to. RJ, your magazine's not available yet, I don't believe it. I'm going to go ahead and challenge some of our listeners. You just heard me say I'll give $10 for the first 12 to subscribe. Tom said he would match it. That's $24 for each of the first 12 subscriptions he could sell.
Yeah, we're ready now that we've actually got some participants.
Chaps will do 10. There you go.
In the advertising world.
Are we running a radiothon here? What's going on?
Before we end this show, I want to talk about Shane Meal. Shane Meal was badly injured last year at Terre Haute Action Track. And Shane, I was talking to one of the crew members and one of the other racers earlier tonight that's here playing poker. And he looked at one of my back issues of the magazine. And Troy said, you know, he saw that was one of the first time racers wins at Anderson Speedway. And this was in 2006, and he's been running himself. One of these days we'll get him on the show. But he's out here relaxing, playing a little card game, I guess. But he was with Shane when he was badly injured. And Shane has basically become a race driver, has some very, very, very bad injuries. And, he'll never be able to drive again. He may never be able to walk again. And I don't think race fans really understand that these guys sacrifice a lot to bring enjoyment. A lot of race fans go to races so they can forget about what they have to do every week to make a living. The racers work just as hard or harder during the week to be able to get to the racetrack. And when I drove a dirt late model hauler around and I worked on a dirt late model for 2 years, I found out that working Monday through Friday and not going to the racetrack was like a vacation compared to working and being around racing. So I enjoyed it. I enjoyed every minute of it. But what I'm trying to get the race fans to understand is when you go to the racetrack, you're there to enjoy the racing. You didn't sacrifice like some of these race families and race teams did. So before I'm done with my life, I want to make sure that I put more fans in the stands, I put more drivers in the seats, and I get the race fans to support them financially.
And
that's anything to ask a race fan for $10 or $11 a year.
And that's really what you do. I mean, really, that's the foundation of what you do.
Right.
I mean, sure, you're a magazine, and we love to talk racing, and that's what we do here. We're all about that. Now, but really, the foundation of what you do is simply the supporting the drivers and the drivers who don't have the sponsors.
Yeah, you can't. I didn't realize that a lot of these sponsorships are companies that support the drivers that are, you know, within the workings of the company. Indiana Underground, for example, they race themselves. They got involved in motorsports at the Indianapolis Speedrome. They sacrificed a lot of their money to get involved in racing, and they spent money. Yes, it was relaxing for their employees, and yes, they had fun winning a championship out there at the Speedrome. But the bottom line is they sacrificed a lot to bring more to racing. And Indiana Underground is just one of many companies that just the desire and the love for racing is just beyond belief.
Right.
And if you've never been to a race, you need to go. If you want to go to a race, I've got a nice minivan. I call my truck. I'll take you.
So we're going to church bus them?
I do bus.
Are we going to church bus them?
I'll clean it. I'll put some people in it. I got new tires, another motor in the van. It's a clean-looking van. It doesn't look bad. So I'll take some race fans. I can fit about, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I can fit 7 comfortably because I take up a seat and a half. I got long legs. So anyway, I'll be glad to take some race fans. If you want to go, I need you to pay your way in. If you go in and give a racer $10, I'll take you to another race. I'm a firm believer. That's what needs to happen in this sport.
Right. And Statman Steve, I
let him back on. Let him talk.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No,
Statman Steve, I know that you have a big passion for racing. Tell us a little bit about where that came about and how you came about knowing so much about. Right. We joke about, with you, call you Statman Steve, but you really do know a lot about racing. So how's that come about?
Yeah, I try to watch every race that I can. I get on the internet and watch it. You get on YouTube, punch in Anderson Speedway, punch in Gas City Speedway, punch in Speedrome.com, or not speedrun.com, but when you're on YouTube, just put in the Speedway, any Speedway you know, type it in. You type it in, you get instant access to all their races. You can track their cars, the drivers, everything. And that's how I got started in it. And when I was 5 years old, my dad took me to the Indianapolis Speedrome. I got so excited, I rode down the front stretch. The guy that owned the track at the time thought it was so neat that I rode down the steps of the stadium there. He came up and gave my dad 3 new passes for the next week's race because any little kid got that excited in the race.
Well, that's a fun story. And that's really where what we're talking about, and I think RJ will agree with this, is that when you develop a race fan, they develop early. And we were talking about this at breakfast this morning. We had breakfast with a sponsor this morning. A potential sponsor. I don't want to give their name yet, but you and I had breakfast this morning with a sponsor, we were talking about that very same thing, that your dad took you and became a race fan. And we were talking about your Ryan Newmans and your Tony Stewarts and your Jeff Gordons. They knew then that that's what they wanted to do. And in fact, we were talking about that earlier today when we were out down there at Speed Mart, and we were talking to the owner of Speed Mart. They keep coming back to these type of cars, the dirt track cars and stuff. They keep coming back to those. It certainly isn't because of the money. It's because that's where the love and the blood is. And you know what? That's what we're here to do. Really, we're here to help the drivers. That's the foundation of Trackside Review.
When I go to these racetracks, JR can, contest it. Most of them drivers back here have a full-time job Monday through Friday. When they come out and race on Friday and Saturday night, they're racing. The smaller divisions are racing for trophies. They're not even racing for money.
Mm-hmm. If I could go ahead and interject, the reason I got into racing, about when I was 18 or 19 years old, I went over to the speed room. And it's impressive. You turn on TV and you see IndyCar, you see F1, and I'm a huge IndyCar fan. I'm a big NASCAR fan. Becoming a bigger NASCAR fan, especially because of Trevor Bayne. These guys have crews that all they do is build their cars.
Right.
When you go to a USAC, you go to a Mitch, you go to a Sprint Cup, well, not Sprint Cup, but Sprint Car Race, and they wreck their cars. They don't get to take the car back to a fancy garage.
Right.
They go to the bank, Chase, whatever bank they go to. They take their money out, unless they're lucky enough to have a full sponsor, which I don't know that many that are. They take their money. They
right.
spend their time when they get off work, and we pair their own car.
These race fans that go to these racetracks, a lot of the racetracks have open pits. They want you to come back. They want you to meet the drivers. They want you to meet the teams. They want you to see the race cars up close. Talk to the drivers. And if you really like them and you really back them, give them $20. Might help them on a tire, might help them on a gallon of gas.
And we were talking about this also, RJ, and I know you're not mic'd up right now, so he is nodding his head, and we do have an agreement that he's agreeing with me on this. But basically, here and if you want to mic him up, Josh, that's okay. But basically, what we were talking about this morning, in fact, was that they have to pay for their own pit passes. There's like five. What'd you say, five?
Yeah.
And if you can explain that a little bit and calm the language down, what we were
about 2.5 to 3 pit members per car, and each member will pay their own pit pass. Yeah. And then each team will bring approximately 2 fans. So that's a total of 5 people. 5 people that they bring. They will all pay their own way.
Right.
They don't have the sponsorship dollars to be able to do that. And in a nutshell, my goal with Trackside Review Magazine is that the race fans pay for every driver's pit pass. That's $20 or $25 per event.
Perfect.
That if that's all I can do with this magazine, I'll be happy. Because if I can do that, I'm going to bring more sponsorships to short track racing in the world, not just Indiana or Kentucky. I've had this big dream to divisionalize Trackside Review Magazine and have a Indiana, Ohio, Michigan, Kentucky, Illinois region, and then have another region with 5 other states, and another region with 5 other states, another region with 5 other states. And I brought up Angie's List, and I brought up the Christian Phone Book in Indiana. Racing is a very dedicated fraternity. I don't care whether they drive a motorcycle,
an open-wheel sprint car, whether they drive a CRA Super Series stock car, whether they drive the Indianapolis Speedrome or Kittley, whether they go to Eldora Speedway, or whether they go to Vermilion County Speedway in Illinois, Bluegrass Speedway in Kentucky. I don't care what they race. The race fans, many race fans don't go to the races. That doesn't mean you still can't support racing. And with video coming with the internet, you can log on and watch racing at the short track level all over the world now. And, you know, I'm telling you, the internet is the way for racing in the short track level to be seen. We don't need national media. We've got national media with the internet. So I'm looking forward to a long tenure with Trackside Review. The reason is because now I'm not doing it by myself. I've got Tom of Marquee Solutions. I've got Statman Steve. I got $2 Josh.
$2 bill, Josh. Get it right. I mean, it's right here in front of you, dude.
I brought this $2 bill just to
give away. This is Josh's $2 bill. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to go next door here, and we talked to some other sponsors. We don't have time to really talk to all the sponsors that we talk to behind the scenes, but we really are building this show on the national level. I mean, we're a national radio show. We're coast to coast, and we're so glad that everybody's here. Yeah, we got a couple fans out there. You know, I think we got several thousand people that listen to the show. You know, I'll give you a little story about $2 Bill Josh. So $2 Bill Josh I've known for a long time now, one of my dear friends. But one time we were out just being guys. We really weren't even doing any radio stuff. We were just watching a ball game, and we were at BW3's, and he pulled out – he paid for his tab with $2 bills. So I started calling him $2 Bill Josh, and it stuck. So – $2 Bill, Josh, Statman, Steve. Everybody's got a nickname but me, but that's okay. Hey, that rhymed.
Yeah.
Everybody's got a nickname but me. Big Chum. Meaner than a junkyard dog. No. But seriously, we have a lot of fun. We got 12 minutes left here. We're going to start picking our drivers, start talking about it. But going back to the $2 Bill, Josh story, and you guys can see this on the website. I took a picture. I told him, hey, hold this up right here when he was on the air earlier. And his eyes were all closed, and he was just drinking water.
I believe that. Every race fan, we're
drinking Ryder water here at the quarter mile pub.
Okay.
Yeah.
So everybody knows that.
It's just water. That's all they serve
water.
Here. Smells like water, doesn't it?
It does turn into water. Anyway.
But we're going to get that frame for you is what I meant, Josh, and put your name on it. So
Who are we picking?
All right, we got 11 minutes left, and we got Fontana this week. We're going to have to let him in, but you know what? Here's the thing. We'll explain the rules, Statman Steve. Here's how it works.
Nobody wins.
Nobody ever wins. But, hey, we have fun doing it. Go ahead. Go ahead. Explain the rules there.
The rules are you pick the winner of the Nationwide Series race, you pick the winner of the Craftsman Truck race, if there is one, and you pick the winner of the sprint car race, and if you win, you get $2. Okay?
You got to get all three right.
You got to get all three right, which means there technically really is no winner. I mean, I've come close.
You understand, we just do this just for fun, Statman.
Yeah, you know, but you know, NASCAR came up with a new rule this year. You have to identify your series. We can identify our NASCAR drivers, our Nationwide drivers, our truck drivers.
Yeah.
Are we gonna take our Nationwide drivers, the highest Nationwide driver in it, because NASCAR drives?
Well, you guys know that Christian Slater is the grand marshal for that.
Yeah, well,
true.
Whatever.
Hey,
I don't care.
Hey, Statman, you mean I got one up on you? Come on. All right. Give me a glass of water on that.
I get to go first this time.
Okay,
go ahead.
I'm gonna go Kyle Busch.
In California.
Bush.
In California.
Yeah, don't mix up your bushes.
Okay.
I came out wrong.
anybody but
go
Bush.
Now, I'm not sure he's going to run the Craftsman Truck race. Does anybody know? Josh, you
I'm
should know.
Sure.
I don't care. That's who I'm going for. This is only for fun. If anybody can beat me, go for it. Statman Steve, he's going to study a little bit.
No, wait. You got to give your picks today. It comes now.
This is tonight. This is on the spot.
Yeah, you got to give your picks tonight.
Tonight.
And we're even going to let Redneck, the Philly from Redneck. Philly from Redneck? The Philly from Redneck? Too much water I've had. I've had too much water tonight.
NASCAR events. I'm going to let him mic up. I've already got the winner.
I want a water bomb.
Go ahead and break it down. This is Fontana, California. This was the house that Gordon built. This is the house that Jimmy Johnson kicked Jeff Gordon out of and took over. I'm going to go ahead and pick Jimmy Johnson when he's winning for the fifth time in the last six Fontana races. He's going to dominate on Sunday. As far as nationwide goes, I'm going to go ahead and pick Justin Allgaier. I'm stealing somebody's pick from last week. And the truck race, I'm going to go ahead and pick Kyle Busch if he's in it. If he's not, oh, well, I got that one wrong. And as far as IndyCar goes, it's on the IndyCar expert. Look for it to be a 1-2-3-4 Ganassi Penske finish. And look for Graham Rahal in his first race with Chip Ganassi Racing to get his first win of the year.
All right, the stat man says it's going to be Biffle and NASCAR. It's going to be, unfortunately, I do have to push Bush in, nationwide and in the truck. I have to pick up again because of the fact that he's the dominant one right now. So, but, you know, Kurt Busch is what? I mean, you got to look at it. Last year he dominated the truck series, and how many times has he gone and ran one the whole weekend? Trifecta. So I'm going to go with Greg Biffle, Kurt Busch, or Kyle Busch, and Kyle Busch. Tom, it's all up to you, brother. God bless you all, and have a great week.
Redneck from Philly, go ahead. If you make your pick.
First off, I got to disagree with Josh on the – it is still Gordon's house in California, so I'm going with Gordon in the NASCAR truck. I hate to say it because, good God, I don't like either Busch brothers, but I can't argue with Statman. I think Busch will win in the trucks or in nationwide. Truck, I'm going to go with Bodine. I'm going to throw that out there. He is a tough driver, and I think he's hungry enough to take that. So those are my picks right there.
Well, here's the deal. I like Jeff Gordon. I mean, he always has done well out there in California. I'm about to lose my voice. These two-hour shows is a killer. But here's the thing. I think that we're going to see a surprise winner. I'm going to go with my guy, just as a normal guy, Ryan Newman. Ryan Newman's going to win out there in California. I think that it'll be I think Danica is going to be very well. Is she racing out? She's going to do very. She. Okay, that's right. All right, my bad. My bad.
Yeah, she's racing.
Tony Stewart's racing the nationwide race.
Yep, Stewart will be there.
Stewart will be there.
Tony Stewart for the nationwide race, and Kyle Busch for the truck race.
Right, that's how I agree. Kyle Busch is just heck on wheels, man. I mean, if you're in his way, he'll move you.
Hey, who wrote down the picks? Did you write down the picks there? Okay, nobody wrote them down. Okay, all right. Yeah, we'll write them down after the race is over.
I'm going to go ahead and commandeer the next couple of minutes. Since we are the balance, we are based in Indianapolis, we didn't talk anything about the Pacers except for like 2 minutes. You know, they've been really hot the last couple of weeks. They won 6 out of their last 7 games. They have a 3-game lead over the Bucks and the Bobcats. You know, they'll probably make the playoffs. Will they make any noise?
Yeah, but when they make the playoffs, is it going to be 3-and-out? Or are they going to do anything in it?
They might win a game or two. But it's not an accomplishment. You know, they fired O'Brien. They have a young roster.
Next year. I know that's what we always say as Pacer fans. Next year. But
hey, next
sounds
year,
like Cubs fans.
Larry Bird is really, really doing his job.
Well, I guess it depends on if you're a Bird fan or not. He's likely not to be back next year, so I'm glad about that.
Hey, and I tell you what, we got some breaking news. Marvin Bullitt may not be back at the Colts. And didn't we hear something about the Dolphins during our production meeting?
Actually, I read about Bullitt this morning. He's tired of being a backup. He wanted a guaranteed spot. He wants guaranteed money. If he can't get it from the Colts, he basically said, adios, see you later. Bill Parcells is no longer with the Miami Dolphins. Whether he got fired, whether he resigned, he didn't say. He's just, it's the weirdest breaking news thing I've ever seen on ESPN. No longer affiliated. I don't know if he got fired, he resigned. But,
he doesn't have a temper at all, I'm sure. I'm sure that never came into effect.
Well, guys, we got 4 minutes left. Let's,
we didn't talk about our human interest.
Oh, you know what? Josh, you're very, thanks for reminding us about that. And here's the thing, and I'm going to give Josh some credit there. I'm usually pretty, pretty anal about the, production meeting. Do not disconnect anything there, RJ.
Watch
your step going through that front part
yes,
there.
Sir.
During our production meeting, we were talking about a very good story. So I'm going to let you go ahead and finish that up, and I'll take us into the two-minute warning.
All right. Saturday, you know, it's the Indiana High School Basketball State Championships. And in the Class A game, you have Indianapolis Metropolitan High School. They have 100 students total. They don't have a home gym. They go to school in a Goodwill building. I've been there. I also work on building it. I need to get a proof that I got a job. Their head coach is a volunteer. They only have 12 fans in the stands per game, and that's the player's family. They don't have a JV team. I don't think they have cheerleaders. They might. It's Saturday. They're going to play for the Indiana High School Class A state championship game. And unless the ballot isn't worse, I cannot think of a reason why we cannot be at Conseco from 10 to noon on Saturday to support Metropolitan High School, because what a story that is. Only in
10
Indiana.
10 to noon?
What?
10 to noon, 10 a.m. to noon, so we can still go to a race afterwards.
Yep.
I'm all game.
What about it, Tom? I think we should go down and support them. That's quite a story.
No, I think you're absolutely right, and what a heck of a story that is. Guys, that takes us to the two-minute warning. I've kind of lost track on who gets the two-minute warning. Josh, it's been a great show today. RJ, it's been a great show today. So I'm going to go ahead and give the two-minute warning to Josh. Josh, we got some games. Sweet 16, and then I'm going to give a minute to you and a minute to you guys. We got the two-minute warning. Racing, balance, go ahead.
I know this isn't a politics show, but I'm going to go ahead and surrender my minute to RJ Cunningham.
Hey, what a man.
Now, see, I love it. That's classic. Go ahead, Mr. RJ Cunningham.
Josh and Tom have just donated some of the money from the balance. I really want the race fans out there the entire time for you to watch the show. Even if you come up with a thing, racers in your area need your help. Can you go by and give them $10
All right, guys, that's going to do it. We've been live right out here at the Quarter Mile Pub. Thanks for joining us, and thanks for Bloodhound Underground Contractors for helping us out and Trackside Review. This is The Balance for March 24th, 2011. We'll see you next week.
Well, when I say when you gotta go, you gotta go.
You have made me very angry. Very angry indeed.
Oh, son of a bitch, son of a bitch, gun. You thought I was going to say son of a bitch, didn't you? That's all, folks.